All right, so we've talked about March, a month of pleading. This is a month of seeding, okay? So there's four types of soils, right? We know this parable of the sower, the four types of soils. And we all, at one point or another, we end up representing one of those soils. All right, so yeah, go for it. So these are the soils, the path, the thorny ground, the stony ground is next, the thorny ground, and then the good soil. So, but today we're just going to talk about the path. Okay, this is the first time I've ever preached this as sort of each of them individually. So we're going to talk about the soil of the path. Okay, you know, maybe if you're like me, like I said, you probably go through each of these soils maybe already before 11 a.m. You've been hard, you've been rocky, you've been thorny, and you've been good. I have no doubt that I've been all of these probably this week or another, but certainly you've been it, or you are it now, or you will be it at some point in the future, amen? Either way, I believe hopefully this will touch us in some way, amen? Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for this morning. So grateful to be together as family and friends. It's so great to be able to read your word, to share in your word, to look at scripture, Father, to be touched by your word, Jesus, to be touched by you. You are the word becoming flesh, and I pray that we will always remember that, that we're eager to connect with you, Jesus, through scripture, and we're eager for the opportunities to learn from you and to get to know you, to get closer to you, and to share the word with others as well. It really is just something beautiful and powerful and amazing that you've given us. So, Jesus, we want to draw near to you now. We really want everything we do to be all about you, Jesus. So we lift you up now. We praise you, and we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 19. All right. You know, you're not the same when your wife's not around. For me, I'm not the same when my wife's not around. I've had a pretty busy weekend. I got three teenage girls, and they've all got stuff they got to do and they want to do and places they want to be. And so I think yesterday I drove 200 miles. So... Chapter 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And the church said, few quick observations from reading this. I read this a number of times, and you know, it's great when you read the Bible and things just sort of jump out at you new. But one observation here, I really never picked up on this before, is that this parable, Jesus, you know, it says he left a home. He went out to sort of the seaside, and the crowd started gathering, so he got in a boat. And I think this would have been a great time to just kind of talking about the parable of the nets. But Jesus goes, so let's talk about growing stuff. And you're kind of going, you know what I mean? They're just going, why do you start with that one? You know what I mean? Well, this little area where he kind of, there's just some thoughts or ideas that there's this little, it's called the cove of the sower. And they believe that most of Jesus' parables were probably taught in this area. In fact, today it is said, I've not been there, that you can go to the shore's edge, turn around, and your voice still will carry quite a distance. I imagine Jesus probably knew where to go preach, you know, so that he wasn't screaming his head off. But it's called the cove of the sower. Anyway, the second thing I picked up on, or that stands out to me, is that, you know, again, Jesus is teaching about farming in a fisherman's boat, which is really interesting, right? And if I had the privilege to be one of Jesus's 12, I too might have asked Jesus, Why are you teaching this? Why this subject today? Why now? Okay. Why not talk about something else? I don't know about you, but I've been tempted and I've been known to think I knew better than Jesus a time or two in my life. I think that's what the disciples are asking. Why are you talking about this? I don't know exactly the tone, but regardless of what the tone was, or regardless of what their hearts were, you got to love how Jesus responds to these guys. He responds to them in a very gracious and patient way. Jesus, the disciples are coming, why are you talking in parables? He goes, he's so patient with them. He's so gracious with them. He's so understanding of them. Jesus is His approach with these guys was always gentle. They asked some of what I would consider the dumbest questions imaginable. But Jesus was always gracious, always merciful, and frankly, always forgiving of them. I love how Jesus deals with his disciples. And yet he spoke to them with conviction and with candor. He says, and vision. He says, people long to look into what you see. You have something that you can't even imagine, okay? Many have wanted to see and experience what you experienced, but boy, they didn't get to get, but you get it. Isn't that pretty cool? He gave them such love and heart and conviction and vision, and yet he was not a people pleaser at all. He says, this is for you. They're not getting it, you know what I mean? Which sounds kind of cold-blooded. He says, they're just not listening. The scriptures are true of them. They're hard-headed. And perhaps an obvious point here is that the seed represents God's word, which is what Jesus is. The word becoming flesh, that's the seed. And the sower is Jesus. And the soil, that's us. We're the soil. The title of our message this morning is Life is Hard. Life is hard. Life is hard. It's like a hard path sometimes, but life can be hard. Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating Mara Devros and her new husband, Brian Carter's wedding. They're right here. Go ahead and stand up, Mara, with your new husband and Brian. I'm going to introduce Brian and Mara Carter to you. That's a little baby Mara. She's 5 years old when I moved here. Thank you. You know, I told them yesterday in their message, Brian's name actually means high or noble. And of course, Mara means grief, sorrow. Low. Brian But what I said to them yesterday is, you know, the reality is life is full of highs and lows. You're getting married. You're married. You're married to have some highs and lows.
Yeah.
Has your life had some highs and lows? The truth of the matter is actually life has more grief, more sorrow, more trials. It's harder than it is easy. It is. I know, but you're like, well, can't you just preach a positive message about how great life is? Listen, in Jesus, it's all good. The high, the difficult, the highs, the lows, we keep them all in perspective. One of my great preaching mentors said, brother, or disciples at one point, he said, brother, good days and bad days, both liars. Don't listen to them. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do with that, you know, but life is hard. You know, the book of Psalms, the most dominant genre is lament. Because that is where we spend most of life, in lament. But it's appropriate because as long as we're on this other side of Jordan River, we are longing and groaning. We want to be with the Lord, amen? It's never going to be better over here than it's going to be over there. Are you with me? If it was all so good over here, then why would you want to go to heaven? So you're always groaning, and we understand that. We just have the Lord, and we know we can overcome whatever the difficulties of life is. But we sing these songs that trouble come my way, make me cry sometime. I lay awake at night for a reason. We say trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us, not to this land, but to that promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye. We'll follow till we die, and we will just understand it better. Bye-bye. That's just it, right? But life is hard. It's hard. It's just the way it is. And what makes life hard is the same thing that makes a path hard. You know, in the days of this writing, the sower, most people didn't own land. What they did was they were given a plot of land. In fact, the community leaders would sort of designate a plot of land for you so that you can feed your family. But people didn't own land. They didn't have money. They weren't like us. We own houses and all those things. It just wasn't how it was. You got to plant a plot of land so that you could grow your food on it. But you have to walk to your plot of land. And as you walk to your plot of land, there would be these paths that were created, like we had in the picture there. And so they just, because everyone was walking, their plot wasn't right there. You had to walk through someone else's plot, and you didn't mess with theirs. And you went to your plot, which might have been back there over there. And you did what you needed to do to take care of your land. And then you went home for the day. And so that's how these paths got created. But what causes paths are the same things that can harden our hearts. What makes a path hard are sometimes the same thing that can harden our souls. When you are worn down and worn out in life, you just get a little harder. There are things that harden our souls, things like past trauma, experiencing traumatic events. Frankly, even abusive relationships can cause some of us to develop sort of a natural defensiveness about us, right? An emotional defensiveness. We want to protect ourselves from further pain. Betrayal. Betrayal hardens us. You ever been betrayed or let down by someone close? It leads to feelings of distrust, cynicism. It causes people to become guarded and less open to forming emotional connections. Disappointment, continuous disappointment. Or feeling like you just can't get ahead. Do you ever have a moment in your life you feel like I take two steps forward and five steps backwards? I'm just constantly disappointed. If you've ever felt disappointed, can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I tell you what, when we're disappointed, we get hardened. We harden our attitude, right? Because, again, we don't want to, it's a defense mechanism. And rejection hardens us. You've been rejected. You face rejection in your life. If you never face rejection, boy, that's a shame. So I tell parents sometimes, your kids are going to go through hard things. Stop running, getting out in front of every hard thing they go through in life. Go, no, you can't hurt my child. Unless you plan to have them live with you for the rest of your life, that's going to be very difficult. In fact, even if they live with you for the rest of life, you're bound to let them down. Amen? Rejection. Whether it's a relationship or career or social circles, leads a feeling of unworthiness, right? It caused people to close themselves off emotionally to avoid further rejection. A lack of empathy. Maybe you grew up in a home with a lack of empathy. You know, I knew I felt that way growing up. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of empathy. Just get over it. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on. Let's get on with it. You just kind of grew up feeling a little hard-hearted. Negative influences. Sometimes you don't have control of them. Like me, sometimes you go find the negative influences to be around in your life. Like your mom goes, you know you shouldn't be hanging out here. I know, but I won't hang out with them in front of you, mom. But you know what I'm saying? But with some of us, it's self-protective. We become hard-hearted to protect ourselves. Sometimes even personality traits. I am an introvert. I get energy from being alone. I don't get energy from being with people. I don't. And I go, God, you go, why did God put you in the ministry? I don't know. I ask myself the same thing sometimes, okay? I think so I can deny myself and take up my cross. You know all of that good stuff. Amen? But I tell you, my personality sometimes, honestly, it can make me a little hard-hearted, okay? I like to withdraw and be by myself. And even that is a little bit of a self-preservation mode for me. Cultural, societal issues, whatever you want to call it, political elections, all these things, they can be kind of difficult, you know what I'm saying? I'm just meeting you where I know you're at, amen? Life can be hard. All of these things can make life hard, just to name a few, amen? You know, the other thing about life that's hard is sometimes it's hard for us to forget and to forgive. Sometimes we ruminate on those things, and they stay with us a long time, which is, I believe, is why Christianity is all about what? Forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. Jesus is always, he's about forgiveness. He's about mercy. He's about grace. He's about love. He's about peace. Jesus had a lot to forgive, a lot. And he's still forgiving a lot, isn't he? It's a beautiful thing about our Christianity. It is all about forgiveness. And when we become people that are able to forgive and we practice forgiveness and we practice these things, we become more like Jesus than ever. We get closer to being that good Saul. We're a little less hardened ourselves. Oh, I get it. There are things at heart. Life is hard, but we are the overcomers. Amen. Yes. We are the ones that can overcome. But, you know, regardless of how hard life's paths get, no matter how tough the road you have had to hold, no matter what we or anyone else in life has been through, no matter what they are going through now, no matter what we will go through in the future. Guess what? The sower still sows generously. The sower still sows generously. Jesus is the sower. And he knows that people are hard. And he knows that life is hard for people. But he keeps throwing out the seed anyway. Listen, the bird is Satan coming and taking it away, and we can't do anything about that. But we can only just keep throwing the seed out. If you showed up here today, you came because you wanted some seed thrown on your heart. Amen? And you know, you don't even know why you keep coming sometimes. I don't know why I keep showing up. But you know you need that seed just thrown on your heart. And yes, for sure, no matter what you're going through, maybe today is not so hard of a day, right? Maybe today it's going to take root and sprout up a little bit. It'll get burned by something, choked out by something. Maybe today you are the good seed. I don't really know. But I'm going to tell you something. The sower just keeps throwing the seed out there. Because that's what the sower does. Just keeps throwing the seed out. Generously, graciously, mercifully, and with peace in their heart. They just keep throwing the seed. Because if they don't, then these things and many other things will overcome them. So we've got to keep throwing our seeds. If we want to be like Jesus, we got to keep sowing our seeds. We got to keep throwing it out. Because that is what Jesus does. He doesn't control the heart path, but he does throw the seed out. Same with us. We are walking in his footsteps. That is what our role is. Now you go, bro, I don't know. I couldn't even get the 31 people prayed for last month. Well, amen. If that's where you're at, okay, then hey, you know what? You take the better part of April and you just keep praying for people. Amen. But if you can, and I think we all can, I want to set a goal for us, okay? The 30 days in the month of April. What if we all shared with 30 people this month? Now, some of us shared with 30 people in a day once upon a time ago. Some of us shared with 30 people in a week. Some of us shared with 300 people in a week. I remember a day when I think I set a goal of 200, 300 people to share with. I don't know how much sharing it was. It was pretty much just passing out cards, you know? But you go, so, well, bro, what does that mean to sow seed? Well, let me just tell you, you can stop and pray with someone. You can stop and read a scripture to someone. You can walk up to someone and say, hey, my name is Vince. Can I get your name? You know what? I'm just walking around looking for people who might be interested in knowing more about Jesus. Could that be you? And you know what they're going to say? No, yes, maybe, kind of, sort of, whatever they're going to give you. But hey, you kind of get to the point, yeah. All right? Yeah. And you give a person an opportunity to make a decision. Maybe you'll say, hey, you know what? I memorized a verse today. Can I share it with you? It's only take a minute. Which is probably going to end up taking 5 or 10 minutes. But you know what I'm saying. It can only take a minute if they let you get it out, right? Or maybe you can walk up to someone and say, you know what? I'm just walking around praying for people today. Can I say a prayer for you today? What's your name? Hey, you got a small group. You go to a Bible talk. Maybe you can walk up to someone and say, hey, listen, I'm in this great small group. Everyone in there is so cool. They're the most amazing people you'll ever meet. Love them all. I'm talking about my group right now. But I love all the people in my... No. So would you want to come to our home and join our Bible talk? Hey, I got this fantastic church. I got this guy named Tolly. He can sing. I mean, he steps back, kisses himself, spins around. I mean, he is just amazing. I love that dude. I love him. You need to come check out my church. It's amazing. You can do that. You can come up with something more creative. Your group can help you with something. Let's just sow some seed this month, amen? You go, bro, I don't know if I can do 3 this month. Praise God. Let's do 3, okay? If you're going to do 3 more this month than you did last month, hallelujah, amen? But I think we can set a goal. And you go, well, it'd be nice if we started this last week. Well, we had the Russians here, and honestly, I got caught up, and Tali was really on fire last week. So I kind of lost track. I forgot. I got through the week. I forgot to talk about the next campaign anyway. But here we are, April 7th. Well, not August, April 7th. I think we had 30 days this month. Let's make it a goal, okay? Let's see what we can do. Let's see what God will do if we will pray and if we will give our best effort. But here's the deal. I know Jesus, if we will take on the spirit of Jesus, life is hard, but it's hard for the people that are out there. They're going through all of this without Jesus. They're having a hard time. So what I would say to you is the same thing Jesus said to his disciples. I believe the same spirit.
He did it with patience. He shared with them. He did it with mercy, with love in his heart, with peace in his heart, with candor and conviction, no doubt. He wasn't people-pleasing. So don't people-please anyone doing this, okay? Especially don't people-please me. That would be bad, okay? All right? But just go out with love in your heart for a hurting world, for people that really have hard lives. I know our lives are hard. But there are people that got harder lives. And some people have hard lives without Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's it.